Okay. We're starting from Nun Gimel Amud Bet at the Mishnah. Haba al Yavimto. Bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezi, bein b'ones, bein b'ratzon. Okay, now we're going to have this Mishnah. It seems to list... Okay, it seems to list any way you do Yibum. Okay, we're going to see, this is one of those good examples of a development of a Mishnah, maybe a Lashon of wording that the Gemara is going to try to interpret, and the Gemara is going to a little bit... I think the Gemara has a different attitude than the Mishnah had about this. Okay, so historically speaking, I think there's something going on here. We'll compare it just for a moment. This phraseology, bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezi, bein b'ones, bein b'ratzon, comes up in Bava Kamma. Okay? It comes up in the context of Adam Muad La'olam. It's a very famous Mishnah. It's a great Mishnah. A person is always responsible for his actions. Bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezi, bein b'ones, bein b'ratzon, bein er, bein yashen. Okay, it's important that I'm saying this bein er, bein yashen, because we'll see later. Bein er, bein yashen doesn't come up in our Mishnah. Okay, but we're going to see that it came up in Breitot in this context. And you can see that there was this phrase that went around what the actual original, you know, whether it really included Bein Er Ben Yashen or it didn't include Bein Er Ben Yashen. We're obviously comparing two very different things.
What's that mean?
Bein Er Ben Yashen, whether he's sleeping or whether he's awake. In other words, when it comes to Adam Uad La'olam, it's very obvious. What happens? It means you're totally responsible for your actions, even when you're sleeping. If in your sleep you knock something over and break something of somebody's, you're responsible. You still have to have a certain level of consciousness when you're sleeping. When it comes to Yibum, the sleeping issue is going to be a little more complicated, how you do this when you're asleep. And the Gemara is going to talk about it. We're actually going to get to a little bit of a sexually graphic day here. Prepare yourselves. Anyway, the phraseology, bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezi, bein b'ones, bein b'ratzon, is a little problematic. Why? Shogeg and ones we can see to distinguish, because shogeg is accidental, and ones is you're forced to do it, right? Somebody forces you to put a gun to your head and say, do yibum with this woman, okay? What's the difference between mezid and ratzon? Right? Mezid is you had intent, and ratzon is you wanted to. So Tosfot says, you could say that mezid and ratzon, with the top Tosfot on the daf, they're two different things. Why? Deratzon hainu demechaven lamitzvah. Okay? Mezid is you intended to do the act. Ratzon is you had the ratzon to be mekayim the mitzvah. Okay, whereas mezid is you had intent to do the act, but not necessarily to, you know, to have sex with her, but not necessarily to do the mitzvah of yibum. But when it comes, but Tosfot says then, but it's much more difficult when you see that phraseology by Adam Muad La'olam. You can't say that mezid and ratzon, right, one is l'kayim mitzvah, you're not being l'kayim mitzvah, you're just being careful not to cause damage. So there, he has more of a difficulty. What do you do with the two different, you know, what's the difference between mezid and ratzon? I'm in the last line of Tosfot here. So he explains, I'm going to try to see if I can remember what this means, that the shogeg and the mezid in other words, either you did it by shogeg or you did it by mezid, but you could have done it by mezid, but ba'onesh ansola sokein or bein shehei baratzon. Now, you could have intended to do the act, but you could have intended to do the act because someone forced you to do the act. So there's intention because you were forced to do it, or intention because you weren't forced to do it. Baratzon is you did it baratzon and not that someone forced you. So sort of that the ones and ratzon are coming to explain the word mezid. That you're mezid either ba'onesh or baratzon, and not that there are four different things. It's that there's shogeg mezid, and then within mezid, there's mezid of you were forced, and mezid that you did it baratzon. Right, that's how he explains it. Anyway, it's an interesting phraseology. The question is, you know, to me it seems much simpler to explain that the Mishnah was just saying shogeg or mezid, ones or ratzon, even though ratzon and mezid are the same thing, really. It's just they're comparing shogeg to mezid. Yeah, it's like a way of speaking, a manner of speaking, and not that we're necessarily adding something in particular. Okay, now we're going to say afilu. Now, it doesn't matter who is shogeg and who is mezid. Afilu hu shogeg v'hi mezida, hu mezid v'hi shogeget, hu anus v'hi lo anusa, hi anusa v'hu lo anus. Okay, all the possible options, it's still considered yibum. Echad hame'areh, okay, this is if you're sort of touching, you start the act of having sex without really having sex. Ve'echad hagomer, okay, if you finish, kana Kana, okay? All these cases, you're Konin. Okay? Belo chilek bein bi'a le'bi'a. Okay, there's no difference between bi'a le'bi'a. Okay, we'll see what that is. Bechein, right, that's, right, the assumption here, 1 second. Right, Rashi says it's bein bi'a shekadarka, bein bi'a shelo kadarka. Ubein ha'ar, ubein le'gmar bi'a. Doesn't matter what kind of active sex you have, any active sex that you're going to have, is considered, right, we talked about bi'a shekadarka and bi'a shelo kadarka, that we said in most cases anyway, not always, but it generally means that whether it's anal sex or regular sex. Okay. So now, v'chein haba'al ha'cham mikol arayot shebatorah, o psulot, kegon, almana l'kohen gadol, grusha v'chalutza l'kohen ediot, mamzeret u'nitin al Yisrael, ba' Yisrael l'mamzer, u'linitin, psala v'lo chilek min bi'a l'bi'a. Now we're moving off of Yibum, and we're saying that any form of bia, okay, seems to mean whether there was ha'ara, whether there was gmar bia, whether there was kedarka, shalo kedarka. If you have sex with a woman who's usher to you in any of these ways, it's considered your psala, okay? Now here, not everything psala really means psala l'kiuna, even though the Ba Yisrael mamzer doesn't seem to be a Kohen issue. That's a real mamzer issue, right? A general issue for anybody, but it seems to mean that's considered bia, that is forbidden. Okay. Now we're going to start going through the Lashon of the Mishnah. So first they're going to ask about this word afilu. Let's go back for 1 minute. Afilu, even if, who shogeg v'hi mezidah, who mezid v'hi shogeget, and all those options. My afilu, why does it say afilu, even if? So it means lo mebaya kamar. Lo mebaya means it doesn't really need to tell you this, but it's saying, even though you know this is obvious, okay, we'll read this. Lo mebaya, who shogeg v'hi kamachavna lemitzvah, right? It doesn't matter if he's shogeg and she intends to do the mitzvah. Inami, who mezid v'hi kamachavna lemitzvah, right? Or he does it intentionally and she's also mekayim for the mitzvah. Ela afilu, even if, who shogeg v'hi mezidah detravayu lamachavna l'shem mitzvah, afilu hachi kana. Okay, even if he's shogeg and she's mezid. Why is travayu lo mechavna l'shem mitzvah? 1 second.
She's mezid ba'onet.
Mezid ba'onet or mezid be'ratzon.
Right.
That's what it means? Oh, yeah, that aleph. 1 second. The aleph takes us to the Bach who says, right, afilu hu shegeg v'hi mezidah hu mezid v'hi shogeget. Did travayu lo kamachavna l'shem mitzvah? No, that doesn't.
But if it's mezid ba'onet, then it's travayu.
If you say mezid is ba'onas, but right. that was really the way Tosfot interpreted it in the other case. Ah. 1 second.
Right, they didn't have intention, even if it was shogeg and mezid, they didn't have intention that it was.
I see, because mezid, right, mezid is intent to do the act, but not intent to be mekayim the mitzvah. That's the point, right? Even if both of them aren't intending to mekayim the mitzvah, okay? In other words, the first thing is, who shogeg v'hi mezidah, who mezid v'hi shogeget, right? And then, who anus v'hi lo anus, v'hi lo sa v'hu lo anus. Right, so, and they're saying...
Well, because one of them, in each of those cases, it was doing it with the intent of the mitzvah, whereas that last case, they weren't. Neither one of them. That's the difference.
Right, that the last one, neither one was intended to do the mitzvah. That's the idea, that the last one. Lo mebay, who shogeg v'hi kamachavne, who mezid v'hi kamachavne, ala filu. Right. Okay. Right. Okay. Right. So the afilu is really on the last case. And you don't need to say all these first cases, but the last case is the real chiddush. Okay. Now we're going to have again, I've repeated this a million times, but Rabbi Chiya seemed to have had his own version of this entire Mishnah. Remember that? So Tani Rabbi Chiya, he says, afilu shnehem shogegim, shnehem mezidim, shnehem anusim. Shnehem anusim. Okay. He had this other version, which we're going to talk about soon, not yet. Okay? Even if both are shogeg, both are mezid, both are anus. Right? Here our case showed he's shogeg and he, right? One is, but not both of them. So now the Gemara wants to know, what is this anus? What's a case of anus? Okay? We're going to have a technical problem with it. Anus dimatnitin hechidami. Ilema kesha ansuhu ovde kochavim uba aleha. Okay? If we're going to say, came, right, and who's the enemy, right? Who's the people who force people to do things in the Gemara, right? The Ovdei Kochavim. So, comes the Ovdei Kochavim. They put a gun to his head and say, you must have sex with this woman. The Ha'amar Rava, this is kind of like Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera, right? So now, it's not the same thing, but it's similar. The Ha'amar Rava, Ein Onis L'Erva. There's no such thing as Onis by Erva. Why? L'fisha Ein Kishoy Ela L'dad. A person can't get an erection to be able to have sex unless he has intent. So even if someone forces you to do it, in the end, in order to have an actual act of sex, there has to be an erection. And in order to have an erection, that only happens if you're willing. You have dat. So therefore, it's kind of like Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera, right? In other words, you have some intent in this act. So therefore, the answer, Ela B'Yashen. It must be, he was sleeping, okay? And somehow he had an erection in his sleep. He certainly wasn't intending anything. And Dafka, while he was having his erection, they put the woman on, you know, on top of him. He had sex with her. They forced him. And that's what we're talking about, okay? That's a case of Ones. So now, the Ha'amar Rav Yehuda. Now remember, I told you, this Yashin is mentioned in the Mishnah by Adam Mu'ad Lo'olam, but it's not mentioned here. Now they say, V'Ha'amar Rav Yehuda, Yashin lo kana, if I remember correctly, by the way, in the Mishnah Baba Kama, I think there's different versions, and whether the Yashin is or isn't part of the Mishnah, like you could see that there were these Mishnayot going around, and Breitot, it wasn't clear which words were part of it and which words weren't. Because then in the end, I think it's the Rishami makes a distinction there between what kind of case of Yashin. Like they actually, I remember, they in the end, they distinguish between if you go to sleep and there's a vase next to your bed when you go to sleep and you knock over the vase in your sleep. So that's a case of Yashin where you're responsible. But if you go to sleep and the vase wasn't there, and in the middle of the night, somebody puts a vase next to your bed and you knock it over in your sleep, then you're not responsible. Mm-hmm. So they try to make distinctions between different types of Yashin. Okay, so now what do they say here? Ha'amar Rav Yehuda Yashen lo kana b'yavimto. Here's a source. Rav Yehuda says, we learn that Yashen isn't, you're not kona yiravama. So therefore, it can't be that the Yashen, right, that the Ones case is when he was sleeping. So now we're still trying to find the Ones case. Ela benitka, maybe it's that they, right, nitka is when they, one second, the exact translation of nitka, I think they force you upon, right, oh, right, okay. It's when he falls from the roof, okay? He falls off a roof, right? This is a great case. I taught this once to high school kids. It was a little complicated to explain. He throws her off a roof. This comes up, by the way, in this section of Adam Mu'ad Lo'olam, okay, in Baba Kama there. He throws her off, he falls off a roof, and he falls onto his Yivama, okay? So he falls onto her. So there, what's that? That's Onus, right? Somebody pushes him off a gog, I guess, if we want to explain Onus, right? Or Onus, I guess, could also be total, like, non-intent at all. So benitka, okay? V'ha'amar Rabba, but wait. Rabba says, nafal v'nagav yinitka. Okay, this comes up this is the source in Baba Kama. If you fall from a roof, okay, benitka, and you fall onto something, or some, right? You fall onto a woman, and you end up having sex with her. And that, I don't know how you do that, but okay. Chayav ba'arba'a dvarim. Here it's talking about nezek. You know there's five things you're chayav in damages. There's nezek, tzar, shevet, ripui, and boshet. Okay, we'll get there when we get to Baba Kama. So now what does he say? You're chayav ba'arba'a dvarim. Four out of the five. Ubi yivimto lo kana. Okay, now you're not kone though. If it was a yivama that you fell upon, you're not kone. So you're chayav in four things. You're not chayav in boshet, because boshet you have to have intent to do. Okay, but you're chayav in the other four things. However, if she happened to have been your yavama, okay, this is what the high school girls had trouble understanding. If she happened to have been your yavama, then you weren't kona your yavama in this way, even though you had sex with her on your way falling off the roof. Okay, obviously as you hit the ground. Okay, Ella. So now we're still struggling to find a case. It can't be Yashen. It can't be nitka. Right? He falls on top of her because we already said that you're pacher from that. You're not kona for yibum. So what do they say? Ela kigon shenitkaven liishto utkapto yivimto. What happens? He gets an erection because of his wife. And then they put her on top of him, okay? And then he has sex with her that way. Uba aleha. Okay? So now that's the case. So he had kavana for his wife, and then, sorry, she puts herself on top, you know, basically she has sex with him. She forces him to have sex with her. That's the case of who anus, right? And she's not anusa. So now let's go back to Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya said, though, that works to give us a case to match our Mishnah. But to be Rabbi Chia hechidami. But Rabbi Chia talks about shnehem anusim. Sorry, I skipped the words. Shnehem anusim to be Rabbi Chia hechidami. How do you have a case where both are anusim? If right, the finally we found the case of anus. He has an erection for his wife. Then she comes upon him. But now, what do they say? Kigon denitkaven liishto utkafu of dekochavim utvakum zebeze ubaala. Okay, so now the goyim come and they basically force him on top of her as he's having his erection.
It doesn't seem awfully different from the falling off the roof example, except for the falling off the roof part.
So what's the difference between
there's
it?
There's because an external factor forcing her so that way.
No,
he's still, his intention is still to sleep with his wife. So he's
no, because this is the issue. The nitkah. Yeah, what are you saying?
He's anus in both situations, but this way is making her anus also. They were looking for a case where both are
no, but the first case also. What's the difference between if he falls off the roof and if he... Ah, that's the difference. When he falls off the roof, he wasn't intending to have sex.
No, but
there was no intent at all.
No, that he was with his wife on the roof, and that's why he already had the erection.
Oh, that's what the Parshanut says, right? That's not the pshat, but let me think. No, because yes, but when he fell off the roof, he wasn't intending to have sex when he fell off the roof. He got an erection because his wife was there and he was intending to be with her, but then he falls off the roof somehow.
So there's an intervening.
And then, at that moment, he's falling off the roof. He's not intending to have sex. The point is, I think the case where, again, it's hard to visualize this, but he basically is about to have sex with his wife and they remove his wife from the picture and the Yivama comes in place of her. As opposed to the case where he's falling off the roof and there, at that moment that he's falling, he doesn't have any intent to have sex.
So there's an intervening thought.
Right.
But it makes it still makes no difference. He's anus in both cases, whether he was planning on having sex with his wife.
Right.
So
but
in one case, he ends up with her as a Yivama. I mean, he's kone her, in the other case, he's not. That was my question.
Say that again?
I think.
Yeah, in the case where he falls off the roof, he's not kone, because he doesn't have intent to have an active sex at all in that point. What's the issue? When you do Yibum, you have to have some sort of intent.
His intent was
but you have to have a certain amount of intent in order to be koneh, because you're doing a kinyan. So the point is, you have to have intent to have sex, but not necessarily with her. Okay, that's the idea. Okay. Okay. Now we're going to go. Okay, so we've gotten off the. Okay, we're going to finish with that. Now we're going to say menahane mile. What's the source? What's the root of the fact that it's bein b'shogeg, bein b'meizeg, bein b'ones, bein b'ratzon? Okay, now we're going to have different ways of darshaning these psukim. Okay, I charted them out. You can see the different options. Ditana rabbanan, yivama yavo aleha, mitzvah. Okay, first way of darshaning this pasuk is yivama yavo aleha. That it's a mitzvah, meaning the ideal way to do it. Remember this drasha? The ideal way to do yibum is by bia. Okay, that's the best way to do yibum. Davar acher, a different way of darshaning, yivama yavo aleha, bein b'shogei, bein b'meizei, bein b'ones, bein b'ratzon. Now, this isn't focusing on the word yavo as this is the best way to do it. It's more yavo aleha mikol makom. Any way he has sex with her, whether it's b'ones, whether it's b'ratzon, b'shogei, all that, okay, he is chayav, and he's koneh. So now, they ask an interesting question, which I actually don't follow 100%. There's lots of times when we darshan psukim, and one way is to darshan it one way, and one way is to darshan another way. But now the Gemara wants to kind of bring this all together, and they say, but how could you say that this teaches you bein b'shogeg, bein b'ones, bein b'meizeg, bein b'ones, bein b'ratzon? V'hafite l'mitzvah. Don't we need that pasuk to teach us that it's a mitzvah to do yibum, that it's a mitzvah to do bia, okay, rather than chalitza? So then they say no, because lemitzvah we can learn from somewhere else. Do you understand my problem with this? My problem with this, sometimes you have different ways of darshaning the pasuk. So the rabbis say, but you can't learn this if we already learned that. Okay, even though it's set up in this format of a davar acher, right? Option number two. However, the Gemara wants them all to work together. So what are they? Maybe here because they have an answer. And because they have an answer, so they can ask the question. Lemitzvah maybe im lo yachpotza ish nafka. We can learn the mitzvah from a different source. We don't need this pasuk yivamaya bo'aleh specifically to teach us mitzvah, because we can learn that from a different pasuk. Which pasuk? The im lo yachpotza ish. Right. Remember, that's where if he doesn't want to do yibum, then he can do chalitza. So why do we teach? How does this teach us? Ha chafetz yibein, right? It teaches you that only if he doesn't want to do it, but if he wants to, right, the ideal way is to do yibum, that chalitz is only if you don't want to do it that way. But obviously, ideally, it would be yibum. So that we can learn from there. So therefore, we have yibamah yavala to teach us bein b'shogeg bein b'mezeg. But now we're going to have a different drasha. That's going to also create a problem. But anyway, the Gemara continues. Okay, and therefore a person can be panoi to teach us this. Tanya idach. Now we have a different braita. I shouldn't say, by the way, that this my question davar acher, because we see this lots of times. And the Gemara says if the pasuk isn't panoi, right, it's tafus, it's used for something else, then we can't use it for that. I guess generally davar acher often means two different shitot. But here, I guess the assumption was everybody agrees that it's a mitzvah to do yibum ideally, to do bia. And therefore, as we want to work out these two drashot, because everybody agrees about both of the conclusions of them. So there's got to be a way that each pasuk, right, each drasha has a free pasuk to fall upon. Okay, Tanya idach, yivama yavo aleha, kidarka. This teaches you that the yibum, when he comes aleha, it's kidarka. Ulikacha, okay, so now it says... Right, let me just read the whole pasuk. One second. Here. Ve'ish asher... No, that's not the right pasuk. Ki yeshvu achim yachdav u'met achav mehem u'ben en lo. Lo tia eshet ha'met achutz al ish zar yivama yabo aleha u'lekacha lo li'isha v'yivma. So there's a bunch of verbs here, right? It's yivama yavo aleha, then lekacha lo li'isha, and then v'yivma. So we're going to darshan each of these pu'ulot. So... the first one, yavo aleha, we're going to assume is biyasha kedarka. Likacha shelo kedarka. Okay, that if you do it in a different way, right, because there's all these verbs, we're going to darshan each verb to be a different way of doing it. So likacha could be shelo kedarka. Viyibem, okay, now we're going to darshan viyibma in two different ways. We're going to say, number one, that it says viyibem, and number two, that they added the hey at the end, viyibma. Okay, that must stress something else. V'yibem, what does that teach us? Bi'a gomeret ba ve'en kesef u'shtar gomrim ba. Okay, to fulfill the act of yibum, you have to have bi'a. Okay, it's not like kiddushin where there's kesef or shtar. Okay, but here it's the bi'a that actually finishes the act, the mitzvah. Right, that's the whole thing. The ma'amar is not sufficient. V'yibma, what do we learn from that? Ba'al korcha. And that's the famous halacha we learned, that you can do yibum against her will. So those are the four things we darshan. They're all charted out. And now we're going to ask the same question. Okay, we're going to now say davar acher. Yivama yavo aleha bein b'shogeg bein b'mezeg b'chulei. Right? So now we have a problem with that. V'ha'afite l'kedarka. Don't we learn, right, in the third opinion here on our chart, right? We learn yivama yavo aleha comes to teach kedarka and not bein b'shogeg bein b'mezeg. So how do we learn that? So what do we say? Ah, v'ha'afite l'kedarka. Hahum bilahakim la'achiv shem nafka. We can learn it from the part of the pasuk that talks about, right? That's where is it? It's not in that pasuk, right? It's ve'im lo yachpos ha'ish lekachad yivim tov alta yivim tov ashar elas kinim v'amra me'ein yivmi lahakim lachiv shem b'Yisrael. Right. So, what does it mean? The whole point of yibum is lahakim lachiv shem. So now, how are you making shem? With bia kedarka. You're not making shem with bia shelo kedarka. So, what do they say? We can learn from here. B'mkom shemekim shem. Okay? The yibum applies when it's kedarka. Okay? The chiyat takra, and therefore when the pasuk, yivama yavo aleha, teaches you bein b'shogeg bein b'mezeg bein b'onus bein b'ratzon, then it's free to teach us that. Okay, now we're going to go a gufa into a few things that we learned. Right? We're going to go in depth into a bunch of things that we quoted in the course of this sugya.
It seems really weird, because if the intent really for this mitzvah is lakim shem, and how so
why should be a shalo kedarka work?
Or not, no, it should be, why should, even if he has sex with her for just intent, non-intentionally, he
could still potentially,
he just doesn't have the intent to lakim shem, right?
Right.
The whole mitzvah is based upon the premise that he wants to continue.
He wants to continue the legacy. So you're saying, therefore, what? What's the question?
This whole Mishnah is difficult.
Because he doesn't have intent, lakim shem achiv?
Yeah, because he just falls, he could fall on her and still, you know, fulfill the mitzvah.
Right, so again, the question is, if he falls, so again, it depends on the situation, but if he had intent to have sex, then and then had sex with her, so that creates a kinyan. Without any intent, right? Like if he wasn't intending, he was intending to, right? He just fell off a roof and he wasn't intending for any sexual act, then there can't be a kinyan, right? Because there's two issues going here. There's a kinyan On the other hand, there's also that he was making shem achiv. Now, whether you intended to have sex or not, right, you could have gotten a woman pregnant if you actually do have sex with her. So you could have intended lakim shem achiv. And therefore, even if he didn't intend necessarily to do the act with her, right, he, as long as there was intent to do an act, then a kinyan can be chal. It's sort of like that case of the gear, right? He thinks it was one gear, but it turns out it was another gear, right? So if he had intent to have the act of sex, then he's able to do yibum with her, even though he didn't intend necessarily to do it with her. Because it doesn't matter whether he had intent, lakim shem achiv. But in the end, in the end, he was making shem achiv. It's like you don't need kavana to do. It's all the question of mitzvah tzirchot kavana. Do you have to have kavana to do the act to be yotzei the chiyuv mitzvah? Or is it enough to have kavana to do the act, right? But not necessarily because the act is a mitzvah. Right? There's a difference between having kavana to do an act and having kavana to do an act in order to be mekayim a mitzvah. So those are two different intents, right? That's what I think is going on here. In the end, you have to have intent to do the act, but you can't have intent to do, you don't have to have intent to do the act to be mekayim the mitzvah specifically. Right? So if you didn't know it was her, you know it was your yavama, you had sex with some woman, you'd be mekayim the mitzvah. It's weird, the whole, the concept. I mean, it's also, you have to imagine that these cases are not, right? We ask lots of times, are these cases realistic? Did they really happen? I don't think anyone's falling off a roof and, you know, or intending to have sex with his wife and all of a sudden some yavama comes upon him. It's hard to imagine that this is really realistic. But what they're trying to get at is, what's the kinyan that's necessary? How are we makna this woman to him? The other question really is, why in the end do they include bia shalokadarka if it can't be making shem hamet? That's also a question. I don't know the answer to that question.
No,
and or ha'ara without real, you know, gemar bia.
Right. Like so. A man was punished for not doing...
Right, for having bia shalo kadarka.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know the answer to that question. Why they, you know, it could be also they were trying to make sure people were, you know, trying to be inclusive of how to be mekayim the mitzvah. So even if you don't actually...
The lo kadarka is not going to result in children, which I thought was...
Right, that's why I'm saying it's difficult to wonder why the Gemara added kadarka. I don't know the answer to that question. How that could really be a chiyuv of the mitzvah. It's a good question. Okay. So now we're going to go in depth into some of these cases. Gufa. Amar Rav Yehuda, yashen lo kana bivimto. Ta'amar kra, yevama yavo aleha, ad mechavela l'shem bia. Okay, he has to have intent for bia. That's what we've been saying, right? Without any intent for bia, if he's sleeping, he's obviously not intending to have bia. V'hatanya, but wait, doesn't it say in a bright, and this is what I said, right, that there were different versions floating out there, bein er bein yashem. So it does say bein er bein yashem, right? You can imagine that this same phraseology appeared here, appeared by Adam Ual Olam. So the if people were memorizing them and reciting them, right, you could see how different versions, maybe Bein Er Yashen is relevant there, but not relevant here. Or maybe it was really by both, but then people thought, oh, it doesn't seem relevant here. So you could see that there were all different opinions going on. So it says, doesn't it say Bein Er Bein Yashen? So they say, maybe we miss, people didn't understand that properly, and they passed it down the wrong way. Ema Bein Era Bein Yashena. Maybe it means whether she's awake or sleeping, it doesn't matter, which fits in with that you could do yibum against her will, right? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if she's sleeping. But then they say, no, you can't say that because there's a braita where it says it explicitly. V'ha tanya, bein er hu, bein yashen hu. Bein erahi, bein yashenahi. You can't read that source any other way. So clearly somebody thought that she, you know, even he could be sleeping. So now the Gemara is going to have to explain, right? And on the one hand, you could say there were different opinions, right? Which seems to me that in the time of the Tanaim, there were different opinions about this. But already by the time of the Gemara, they want to unify, right? They're trying to come to them, it seems obvious that he's not chayv if he's yashen. So how could it be that it says that? So now they're going to answer, which we've seen a bunch of times. Hacha b'mayaskina b'mitnam neim. It's when he's half asleep, okay? And then they ask this question, which we've seen before a few times. It's a funny one. Hechidami mitnam neim. How do you have the case of someone who, what does it mean? Amaravashi nimbino lin nimbino nim tir velo tir kigon dekarule vaane velo yada la duresvara vachimit kirule midkar. It's a person who's half asleep. Okay, he's like nodding, but right, he's awake, not awake, but sleeping, not sleeping. And if you call him, he'll answer you, but he won't. Like if you're in the middle of a conversation, he won't be clear-headed enough to really explain to you something la duresvara to explain what you were saying. But if you remind him, he'll say, oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about, right? It's where he's half asleep and half aware of what was going on. So as soon as you remind him, he'll remember. That's a good example of. So that's in the end when they say all the sources that say whether he's yashen, it means he's mitnam name. Okay. So if he's half asleep, he could somewhat have intent. If he's totally asleep, then he can't. And in that case, it wouldn't count. Okay, gufa. Now we're going to go back to this falling off the roof case. Amar Rava. Okay, you'll love it when we get there. They talk about throwing babies off roofs and throwing animals off roofs. There's all sorts of interesting scenarios there. Okay, forget about the case where they throw a baby off a roof and someone on the way down stabs the baby, like accidentally puts a knife out and the baby gets killed. And then who's responsible? The guy who threw the baby off the roof or the guy who put out the knife? Yeah, when I taught that to high school kids, they also thought that was interesting. Okay, gufa. Amar Rava. Nafal min hagag v'nitka chayav ba'arba'a dvarim. U'b'yivimto lo kana. Okay, but it won't be kone your yivama, but your chayav in four dvarim. Which four dvarim? B'nezek tzar b'shevet b'ripoy, aval boshet lo machayav. Damar mar, ein chayav ala boshet ad shi itkaven. Okay, what are these five things? Nezek is damages. Tzar is the pain you cause them. Shevet is the lack. They can't be working while they broke their leg, let's say. Okay, so the time, you have to pay them for the time that they would have gotten paid by their work. And repoy is their medical bills. Okay, so all that you're responsible for, even without intent. But boshet, the embarrassment you caused them, you're not machayev right now. He's got to walk around with a cast and everybody says, oh, what happened to you, right? It's embarrassing. So basically, that you're not chayev unless you were mitkaven. But everything else you're chayev, even if you weren't mitkaven. Amar Rava. Nitzkaven lahatiach bekotel v'itiach b'yivimto lo kana. Okay, this is a very unpleasant one. He intended to, I guess, to be erect or something using a wall, and in the end he went into his yivama. Okay, lo kana. He's not kone in that case. Latiach bebehema v'itiach b'yivama. But what if he intended to insert himself into a behema, and instead, by accident, it turned out to be his yivama? Kana. Why? He was intending an act of sex, right? Having sex with an animal might not be the appropriate manner to have sex, but he was intending for an act of sex, and therefore, if it ended up being her, it doesn't matter, a woman, a behema, okay? We're all the same category according to this. But there's an intent for an act of sex, whereas by a wall, there was no intent for a real normal act of sex, and therefore, he's not chayev in that case. Okay. Echad ha-me'areh. Amar Ula, minayin lahara min haTorah. Now we're going to have a long slew. You can see, okay, the chart at the bottom of the page. Where do we learn the source, the ha'ara? We said it by an erva and by yibum, right? It counts, okay? Not having a full act of sex, but just ha'ara. How do we know that that counts as an act of sex? So now we're going to try to bring different sources. We're going to then say from this topic, right? We can learn for all the other topics, but then they're going to say no, because it only appears in the pasuk about this, right? So we might think just, like, for example, I'll just say the first one is Nida, okay? So it appears only in Nida. We're going to learn from there, Zeh, right? We usually say Bone Av, right? It's Bone, right? It teaches you, if it happens in this case, it's true for all other cases that are similar. But then they're going to say by each one that there's a Chumrah in that one, that maybe just in that case, Ha'ara will be Chayav, but in other cases, you'd have to have Gmar Bia. Okay, that's going to be the general kivun here. So, minayin laha'ara min haTorah. Okay, so we're going to go through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, only the seventh one is going to actually work. It says in the Torah, ish asher yishkav et isha dava, that means when she's in nida, v'gilad ervata et mekora he'era. So here you see the word he'era. They're going to say, oh, that comes to teach us that ha'ara is min haTorah. Mikan laha'ara min haTorah. So they say, Eshkecha Nida Shara Arayot Minayim Beseda. That teaches you Nida, right? But what about the rest of the Arayot? Bechitem, and if you want to say Nelef Minida, you want to learn it from Nida, you could say this though. Ma Lenida Shekem Mitam'ad Bo'ala. What's the problem? Nida has an extra chumrah that all the other cases don't have. If you sleep with a woman who's in Nida, you become Tameh. In all the other cases of Erev, you don't become Tameh. It's besides the karet that you get, you also become Tameh. So now, therefore, they say you can't learn it from Nida because Nida has a special chumrah. So maybe because of that chumrah, also they were oser ha'ara. But in other cases, you might need gmar bia. Ela atim eshet ach. Why don't we learn it from eshet ach? Dichtiv v'ish asher yikach et eshet achiv nidahi. Okay. So now they say what? V'chi eshet achiv la'olam nidahi. What do you mean? anytime you take your brother's wife, she's always going to be a nidawa. She's a perpetual, you know, bleeder. Like, she's constantly menstruating. It doesn't make any sense. So what does it mean? What does it mean in the pasuk nidahi? It doesn't mean she happens to be a nida, right? It can't possibly be. Ela kin nida. She's like a nida. So ma nida bahara af eshet ach bahara. Okay, so now we're going to say, right, we have a pasuk by nida. So now we have this other pasuk by eshet ach that compares eshet ach to nida. So let's say that just like nida, ha'ara is chaya, also eshet ach, ha'ara would be chaya. And then maybe from eshet ach, we can learn to all the other cases. So now they're going to say, no, what's the problem there? Ma le'eshet ach shekem biyado lirabot. Eshet ach, what's the issur of eshet ach? It comes from your brother and through marriage, basically. Which means that your brother is the one who creates the issur for you to marry these women, right? If your brother didn't marry them, then they wouldn't be usher to you, right? It's all a forbidden through marriage. Here they kind of explain it in a different way, but they say, Shekem biyado lerabotei bai mekadesh v'azel ki alfa. He could marry if he wanted 1,000 women and create 1,000 isurim for you. In other words, these are isurim that can constantly be created by somebody, a person, a human being, can create more isurim for you here. As opposed to other nidot, which other arayot, like your mother. Your mother is just your mother, right? Whether, right, you can't sleep with your mother, and no one can be marbe, more mothers to you, right? It's not, it's something that's by birth, okay? Rather than by marriage. Ella, and therefore, maybe you'd say that's a chumrah because the brother can be mirabe, as many as you want, and therefore we would say it would include ha'ara, but other things wouldn't include ha'ara. Ella, ate me'achot av, ba'achot em. What about your father's sister or your mother's sister, okay, your aunt? Dichtiv, here's a pasuk. Ve'ervat achot imcha v'achot avicha lo tigale. Ki et she'ero he'era. Again, we see the word he'era in the pasuk. So let's learn it from achot av and achot em. So now they're going to say the exact opposite. Ika lemifrach ma la'achot av v'achot em she'kein isur haba me'ilav. Okay, right? That is a case of something you're born into. So maybe that's a chumrah because you're married, right? You were born and they already had this achot, and it's just, it's there because that's who they were, not because it's they married more people, right? Because esh achot av, right, nachot em, are from birth. So now what do they say? Okay, so we've rejected all these possibilities. Okay, you can look back to the chart to follow. So now they're going to try to combine some of them. Okay, why don't we learn the obvious one to combine is the eshet ach and the achot av, because one is by marriage and one is by birth, right? One is by marriage, one is by birth. So now what do they say? Okay, mechada lo atya, techada mitarte. Why don't you learn one from two? Mahi. Tete, mahi tete. So what are you going to learn? Tete me eshet ach v'achot av v'achot em. Right, the achot av v'achot em are one category, and the eshet ach is the other category. Ma lahanach sheken asurim mishum she'er. But what's the problem? All of these are relatives, whether they're relatives through marriage or they're relatives not through marriage. But there's some erva like eshet ish, which is not a relative by marriage. So you couldn't necessarily learn to all of them. Alateti minida v'achot av v'achot em. Why don't you try that? So then they say no, but in malahanach shekein isur haba me'elav. Right? They're all an isur that comes on its own. Right? Nida just happens to you. You don't intend to do it. Right? Same with the relatives. You're just born into it. Alateti minida ve'eshet ach. So why don't you learn it from nida and eshet ach? Nida is haba me'elav, and eshet ach is through marriage. And nida obviously relates to all women and not just relatives. So now they say, demai parachta, because what are you going to ask there? So no, matkefla rav acha bered rav iki. So no, you could ask a question there. Ma l'nida ve'eshet ach shekein ein lehem eter b'chayei osran. They are never mutar in the life of the person who ostered them. Okay, meaning a nida can't be mutar because the person, right, there is a person who ostered her, okay? Like, in other words, she's always forbidden so long as she's a nida. And the eshet ach is always forbidden, even if he dies. Remember, even when he dies, right? That's the classic case of Yibum, right? He's dead. There's still eshet ach only because of Yibum it overrides. So now, what do they say? Amar le Rav Acha midifti le Ravina. Atu nida be eshet ach b'chayei osran hu dein lehem eter, aval lachar miken yesh lehem eter. He's saying this has nothing to do with it. Because nida biyomei talya milta and esherach bibanim talya milta. Okay? Each of them is dependent on either day, right? The days is what determines her heter. Or the esherach, it depends on the children. So he says that's not a good question. Ela parichacha, this should be your question. Ma lanida be'esherach, shekein ein osran mitiran. Tomar be'eshet ish, osran mitiran. You could say the eshet ish has a kula. Because in the end, who can be matir her? The person who ushered her, her husband. Okay? Whereas by Nida and Eshet Af, the person who ushered them can't be matir them. So that's a chumrah that exists in those cases. It doesn't exist in Eshet Ish. And therefore, you can't learn from there. So in the end, they tried every possibility to learn. In the end, they said, we can't learn from any one of these psukim because they're all difficult, right? Everything has a possible chumrah that doesn't exist elsewhere. Ela Amar Rabbi Yonah v'Itaim Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Yoshua Amar Kra, the pasuk here, we've used this pasuk many times. Okay, for those who say, how could you, right? You can use the same drasha many times, although we'll see that it's all based on the same thing. All the drashot are based on the same basic drasha. Ki kol, this is the pasuk misakem in the Arayot. Ki kol asher ya'aseh mikol ha-toivot ha'ele v'nechretu ha-nefashot ha-usot. Hukshu kol ha-arayot kulan l'nida. So now we're going to go back to our first option. It says in Nida, et mikoraha era, ha'ara min ha-Torah for Nida, and then this pasuk compares everything to Nida, ma Nida b'ha'ara, af kol b'ha'ara. Okay? So now they're going to say, okay, now we have to go back to some of these pasukim that we didn't understand then. Ela Nida diktiva gabe eshet ach lamali. What did we say? By eshet ach, it said, k'nida to teach the ha'ara is asur by eshet ach. But now we don't need that, because we have this other drasha. So what do they say? L'chid Rav Huna. D'am Rav Huna, remez li'yavama min ha-Torah minayim. So now they want to ask, where do we have a remez? That Yibam is min ha-Torah. So that Yibam is by, I think the question here is that Yibam is by having sexual relations. So minayim, ha-ktiv yavama yavo aleha. In other words, obviously, what kind of a question is that? Everybody knows the answer. Ela remez li'yavama sha'asura b'chaye ba'ala minayim. So what do they say? What's the remez? That a yivama is asura, that basically she can't marry her brother, right, her husband's brother during her lifetime. So they say, "Hai svarahi mida amar rachmana lachar mitat ba'ala sharia michlal de b'chaye ba'ala asura." It's a svara. It's just logical, right? The whole chiddush of yibum is that you're allowed to marry him when he dies, right? You're allowed to marry the brother in the case that he dies without kids. So obviously, the assumption is that when he's still alive, you're not allowed to marry. And they say, b'dilma l'achar mitat ba'ala mitzvah, b'chaye ba'ala reshut. But maybe you say, yibum is a mitzvah. And that's what it's telling you. It's a mitzvah to do yibum when your husband dies without kids. But now they're going to say, but maybe in your husband's lifetime, it would be reshut if you want to marry your brother. Right? It's a weird assumption to even raise this. But if you want to sleep with your brother's, you know, brother, your husband's brother, you could. Inami l'achar mitat ba'ala in b'chaye ba'ala lo. So maybe you would, or you could say that after the husband dies, you're not allowed to, you're allowed to, but b'chaye ba'ala lo. And then what would you say? V'lav haba michlal aseh is an aseh. Then in the end, what do you have? You only have a mitzvah aseh. Because if you learn this all from Yibum, then you learn that, right? It's a mitzvah aseh to do it when he dies, right? Meaning that when he's alive, it's forbidden. But how do you learn that? You learn it from an aseh. And therefore, it's really only an aseh. It's not a lot aseh. So now, what do they say? Amar kra, that's the chiddush of this pasuk. Be'ish asher yichkach et eshet achiv nidahi. So again, chi eshet achiv nidahi, ela ki nida, ma nida afa pishayesh laheter, la'achar mikain. So that's the thing. What's similar between a nida and an eshet ach? This is brilliant. A nida and an eshet ach both eventually become permitted, right? Obviously, the eshet ach is only in the case where he dies without kids. But there is a heter further down, right? Further down the line. So, bishat isura bekaret, right? This is, you know, there's a whole thing about davar sheyesh lamatirin in isur veheter, something that would eventually will become mutar, okay? So there's different halachot about it. So anyway, they're trying to say here, even though eventually she'll be permitted, like the nida and the esherach, the chiddush is that just like the nida, even though eventually she'll be permitted, if you sleep with her when she's in nida, it's isur karet. Also, the esherach, even though eventually she might be permitted to you, b'shad isura she's b'karit. So, af esherach nami, af b'sheyesh leheter lachar mikin, b'chaye ba'ala b'karit. Okay, last question for today. Ela ha'ara diktiva gabe achot av v'achot em lamali. So now let's go back. Why does it say ha'ara in that pasuk? Right, if you go back to your chart, the third one. Right, we now explain the yesharach pasuk. That comes to teach you, don't think because she'll be mutrit you later, there's no karet now. No, there's still karet. And now the achot av and the achot em, why does it say et she'ero ha'ara? What do you need to teach you that for? If you're going to learn, right? If we have that last pasuk, which says we learn it from needed to everything, what do you need it for? L'chedibayim mina ravina me'rava. Ha'me'areb is zachor mahu. What if, right, you do mishkav zachor, homosexual relations, be'ha'ara, are you forbidden? Bizachor, what do you mean bizachor? Mishkavei yishaktiva. And as it already says in the pasuk, you can't do it. So that's not the question. The question is, ha'me'areb be'hema mahu. Okay, so now what do they say? Amar le ime no anyan la ha'ara dechtiv gabe achot ava achot em de'ati behekesha midi Rabbi Yona t'nei anyan la ha'ara bebehema. So what do they say? This is, we've seen this before. Ime no anyan. It's one of the ways that we can darshan sukim in the Torah. If there's something that's unnecessary, okay, which we've just deemed that this is unnecessary, we say it must not be teaching you about ha'ara in this case. It must be teaching you about ha'ara in a case that we don't know about. And what case do we not know anything about ha'ara? In mishkav behema. So it comes to teach you now that a behema, right? That behema, also if you do only ha'ara, you're chayav for mishkav behema. Okay, it's forbidden. So now they say, mishkav behema is chayav emitobetin. So now they say, michde behema chayav emitobetin hi. My time aktiv la'ara dida gabe chayav kritut. It doesn't make sense. Here we're in a topic of kritut. Why would we give an isur where there's kare to teach about? Right, so it's true you could say imeno inyan lezeh, tenei inyan lezeh, but there has to be some sort of logical connection. The achot av and achot em are isur kare, and the behema is isur mitabetim. Lich tov gabe mitabetim, v'nelech mitabetim, mitabetim. Right, it should have done that. So now they say, I did the kule kra ledrasha ate k'tiv beinami haimil to ledrasha. Since this whole pasuk was all unnecessary, the whole thing was unnecessary, and they darshed in this entire pasuk. So once they're darshaning this puzzle for all sorts of things, they can also darshan from here to Behema, even though it's not really banose. So now we'll just finish up this. My drasha, what's the drasha of this pasuk? Titania ervat achot avicha lo tegale, bein min av, bein min ha'em. So now we say, you know what, let's stop here, because this is kind of long and it's already late. So we'll start from here tomorrow. We'll pick up here, and we're going to learn what's the whole drasha on this pasuk. What are they using this pasuk to darshan, since it's really an unnecessary pasuk.